everyone, welcome to episode 4 of the Power Pod. The internationals began arriving back into the PWR and things went up another level. Ashton Gate was bouncing, but Bristol came up short.
Yes, and the Shed in Gloucester was as vocal as ever as they did their best to roar on the defending champions. But just like Saracens in Bristol, it was a day for the away team as Exeter Chiefs took a win back down the M5.
Meanwhile, in Northampton, Loughborough Lightning found their spark for the first time this season, claiming all 5 points available at home when they played Sale Sharks, whilst Harlequins enjoyed the Sunday night visit to the Midlands with victory over the Tigers.
All that and more, including a one-question reply from Zia Lemma, your questions, and a ticket competition giveaway. That's Philip Hattatiot. I'm Nick Heath, and this is the Power Pod. Hello, Phil. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm all right. We've got to episode 4. That's sort of rocketing along, isn't it?
I know. Isn't that crazy? Oh, brilliant, though. Getting lots of feedback, which is really nice. People starting to stop you sort of saying, really enjoy it. Dave Ward, you know, coach of Bristol, saying that he's enjoying the pod. I think that's pretty high praise from a man who knows literally everything about rugby. So he's actually enjoying what we're saying. We're not completely off the ball. That's great to hear.
It's always nice, isn't it? Yes. Yeah, I've certainly had a few people also sharing that and a few messages, all of which I'm sure we will get to. And if anyone saw a couple of posts I put on social this week, I had the most amazing moment yesterday on the day we're recording when I was seeing the fixtures coming out for the Rugby World Cup, which I'm sure we'll touch on a little later. And I thought, God, you know, this is an amazing year coming up. I wonder when my actual commentary journey with the women's game started. So I just put a little filter through on my inbox and was looking for, and I remember the first gigs I did was live streaming games for the RFU on the England games. And it was Julia Hutton who was working at the RFU at the time. So I just put a filter through and I found the email where Julia is asking me, would I be available to commentate? Because they're going to web stream a few games. And I was like, oh, look, there it is. The date that Julia sent that email to me was the 22nd of October, which was yesterday as we record. So I was looking at this and I found it a day, 12 years later, to when the email was sent. So I was just like, wow, there we go. I have literally stumbled upon on the very day, my 12-year anniversary of when I was first asked to commentate on women's rugby.
Oh, congratulations.
So that was a cute little moment. Shall we look back at round 3?
Absolutely. Some awesome games, weren't there? Let's go for it.
Certainly were. Okay, round 3 review then. Starting off, Bristol Bears 24, Saracens 41 at Ashton Gate. Moore of the May Campbell Show, earning player of the match, scoring a try in each half for Saracens, as did Bears' Millie David, first of which was an absolute worldie. Half-time, Saracens had built a 10-point lead before extending that to 7-24 on 50 minutes. Before Bristol did come back, they closed the gap to 7 points before Sarries, though, kicked on again. Bears staying in the fight for the 4-try bonus, but Saracens too strong, outscoring the home side with 6 tries. We were there on commentary, Philippa, but while you were in high demand and shooting off to the Dragons game afterwards, I moseyed my way down to pitch side and I found 3 women, 2 Bears and 1 happy Saracen. Well, I found a Celtic trio, perhaps we can call this. Lana Skeldon, Kira Bevan, Georgia Evans. Kira, you came on. Lana, you came on. Made a bit of the difference, you two, on the score sheet. Lana, how was that?
It was a really challenging game, to be fair. It was hard to come on to, but, yeah, just, like, gave it our all when we got on. And, yeah, like, well, there's things we can improve on, but there's bits that we're happy with.
Yeah. Is it weird to kind of step off a plane, suddenly be back into club? I mean, does it take a while to get used to?
Very different. We play very different styles of rugby in Wales and in Bristol, so it takes a little bit of getting used to, but it's been quite a good... and it's nice to be back.
Yeah, and next time you'll be on side, right?
Maybe. If there's no TMO, I've been fine.
Damn those pesky cameras. Georgia, you come away with the result today. How was that one for you?
Yeah, really good. I think we focused all week on coming down here and making a statement. Some of the girls being back in, we knew we had a point to prove. There's lots of challenging positions, so we had to come in, make a bang, and we weren't going to let them do what they did to us last year. So a little bit sore from that, and we managed to get it over today.
It's amazing what a little thorn in the side can do, right?
We don't hold grudges, but it helps.
Yeah, yeah. Probably not a bad time to do it with the visitor Gloucester Hartbury next week.
Yeah, we've got three big ones back to back. We've got Bristol today, Gloucester and then Exeter. So big run of games for the girls coming back in, but I'm sure that we can hit the ground running. They've started so well. We've just got to make sure that we end this block on a high.
Kira Bevan's so cheeky, isn't she? I love it. It's so good. You know, during their warm-up game, I think it was against Australia before they went out to WXV, she was captain. And the Wales had conceded quite a few penalties in their 22. And referee sort of calls her over, you know, stern-faced referee, and says to Kira, look, that's another penalty. Can you please tell your nine she's way offside? And Kira goes, oh, that'll be me then. The great thing was, she all in that situation turned a very stern-faced referee. The referee actually laughed. And I thought, that's so brilliant. You've got the referee back on side in just an innocent comment.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was offside, unfortunately.
She was, just a little bit.
And Georgia Evans just highlighting, isn't it? It was a grudge game for them. And you know what? Fair play. Turning that real disappointment, that loss last season, into potentially what gave them that extra momentum to win the game.
Yeah, it was also just the fact that in the week leading up to it, they'd each sort of been throwing stuff at each other and then not talking about revenge. It's not revenge, clearly. Revenge. Good to hear from Pat Lamb mid-game as well. They are right up there, Bristol Bears, as one of the clubs getting that one club ethos right. They're not the only ones. And Caleb has reminded me, and us all, that referee Hollywood's words to the front rows of both sides on Saturday apply to us all. I did have to remark on it in commentary, but yeah, it did make me laugh as Holly said to the two front rows, you are responsible for your own weight, a truth we so often avoid.
Okay, so next game was Loughborough Lightning 36, Sale Sharks 17. Happier times for Lightning, scoring 6 tries to Sale's 3. It was a solid start for Nathan Smith's side, running at a point a minute at 17-0. Loughborough Lightning scored the second highest points tally in round 3 with 36. Only Saris scored more. They had 41. They also made the most carries, 156, for the most metres.
Yeah, Megan Davey spoke after last week's game to Chloe at the Rugby Voice that it was the first time in 3 games that they've actually attacked, which I thought was quite a revealing phrase. Our thanks to Chloe for sharing that post-match chat with us. But yeah, Lightning will be happy they've got themselves up and running now.
They have got themselves up and running. Still not the polished performance, still plenty to work on. But we don't know how many superstars they might have back in their team this weekend. But from a sales perspective, good to see Sophia Stefan teaming up with Beatrice Ragoni and also Robin Wilkins in at fly half. You can see signs there. You can see them really bossing it, which I think Sale needs, some strong leaders. But it's just going to take a bit of time to bed in those combinations, I think.
Yeah, I've had a couple of people say to me, oh, yes, well, we're not looking forward to playing Loughborough Lightning. They are the team to watch this season. So they'll be pleased perhaps to get those first couple of rounds out of the way. Gloucester Hartbury 15, Exeter Chiefs 21 then in the third game of the day. Gloucester first on the board through Karis Williams-Morris, leading for 5 minutes before Michaela Nelson scored for Exeter. 2 yellows to Gloucester Hartbury with Gwen Crabb and Cecilia Tuipulotu receiving those. 15-21, yeah, final score. Gloucester Hartbury getting a losing bonus point. I was able to make it there, having left Ashton Gate. It was amazing. Got in the car at 5-2, rocked up at King's Home, walked in. It was the teams running out. I was very, very pleased with myself. And it never quite felt like the circus's day. I have to say, when you just get a sense at a ground, there was a decent crowd in. And I also actually, at the end of the game, I was just moving to potentially be ready for the end of the game and grabbing a bit of post-match reaction. And I happened to be walking past the coach's box when the penalty was missed that would have made it an 8-point advantage for Exeter Chiefs, and Gloucester would have got nothing from the game at all. Susie Appleby was furious that penalty had been missed. And I sort of was thinking, you have just won the game here. So that is the competitive nature of the former England scrum half.
I think it's just testament to the way that the season could pan out as well. Those one-pointers and denying your biggest rival that one point is huge. Yeah, it was a tight game, wasn't it? I think Exeter did benefit from having a couple more internationals back, whereas Gloucester Hartbury, you know, didn't put all of theirs in. But you know what? Credit to Exeter. Gloucester Hartbury scoring so early, I was like, oh, this could go bad. Exeter straight back into it, you know, and they really contained. That's how I would describe it. I think they really contained Gloucester Hartbury very well.
And hey, look, I didn't get it quite on the record, but I certainly got a sense from the Gloucester Hartbury camp that 11 points out of 15 for that particular window in terms of table points isn't the worst thing that mm-hmm. they might have expected or hoped. I think they're okay with that, actually. So I thought that was quite interesting.
Okay, next game was Leicester Tigers 17, Harlequins 31. So this was a game, if you tuned in just for the second half, you would have thought it was quite even. However, the damage had been done in the first half. Mm. You know, the possession between the teams was pretty equal, 49% to 51%, but it was the territory that was the big difference. Tigers only having 35% territory to 65% the Quins had. Quinn scored 5 tries as opposed to the 3 by the Tigers. Leicester just giving them too much valuable real estate.
It was just the start of the game for me. Kickoff didn't go 10 metres. You know, we all make mistakes, but when you're at home, you want a good start. I don't know, it's just not ideal from Sarah Nicholas that. I just thought, oh no, Tigers.
You know what? There were a couple of times in that first half, especially where you'd see Tigers would make a turnover or they'd make a break and you think, right, go, go, go. But within 2 phases, they'd knock it on or they'd force a pass. And it just really felt like they couldn't build on any momentum. Yet, you know, in the second half, I don't know what the halftime chat was like, but they seemed a bit calmer and they were able to build on phases, you know. And also, Leicester Tigers have one of my favourite players playing for them. Julia Omoquella, fingers crossed I said that right, because full respect to her, she is an awesome player, plays on the 7 series, played in WXV, and in the second half, her carries were absolutely instrumental to that momentum that they lacked in the first half. She scores a try, and then for the last try of the game, actually, it was her break that made it. So look out for her. Back row, second row, but it's her work rate. Honestly, she'll be absolutely all over the field. Awesome player.
Yeah. I think that's 2 weeks running. We've talked about Tigers having a very settled second half. So they can come out firing, then that might be the key. All right, let's get into our round 4 preview. We've touched a little more lighter on our review because we know that, you know, this pod is coming out on a Thursday. We would rather, you know, look ahead a little bit more. So round 4 this weekend, well, it has some really tasty games in store. The Red Roses returning to club action after their week off. 3 games on Saturday then as Harlequins host Loughborough Lightning at the Stoop. 6th against 7th in the game changer. That is going to be a tasty one. Exeter Chiefs are back home to host Trailfinders, who've clung on to 4th place in the table without playing a game last weekend. Impressive. Sale Sharks are at home to Bristol Bears, a 7 o'clock Saturday evening kickoff fixture. They won 27-24 last season at the Corpac, so that'll be interesting. Sunday, round 4 concluding with the TNT Sports live game. Saracens against Gloucester Hartbury, another huge top 4 clash. It is Leicester Tigers who have their bye week. Now, before we get into the detail, we would like to announce a competition. You may have seen it on our social already on Instagram. And we have 4 tickets to the Game Changer at the Stoop this Saturday, the 26th of October. And to anyone listening to this episode before 10 o'clock in the evening on Thursday when the pod comes out, well, then you still have time to enter. If you're after that time, I'm afraid it may have closed. Head over to our Instagram at thepowerpod_. Like the post about the competition. Make sure you're following our account. And in the comments, tag a pal. We'll draw a winner on Thursday night. But yes, 4 tickets to the Game Changer at the Stoop, it's a pretty historic fixture, isn't it, Phil?
It's huge. It's record-breaking. Broke the records last year, didn't it, for a domestic fixture. Awesome one for the fans. So let's have a look at the nitty-gritty of it. So Harlequins against Loughborough Lightning. Quins have played 3, 1-1. But those other 2 losses have been quite tight. Remember, it was 7-8 to Exeter and then 18-27 to Gloucester Hartbury. So Quins have scored the least amount of tries. We talked about a lot of them. They're not clinical enough. They've only scored 8 so far. Only Sale are worse, scoring just 5. Loughborough Lightning, like Quins, they've also played 3 and won 1. That last victory coming last round against Sale.
Yeah, Lisa Neumann was bouncing through Tigers defenders last weekend. She made 6 offloads, second most in the league, actually, after Sarah Svoboda, who made 7. I'm still talking about Nicole Wythe. I make no apology. She's made more post-contact meters than any other player this season with 80, an average of 1.8 per carry. She's actually a player that Alex Osterby used to coach at Southeast under-15s level. I had a chance to catch up with Alex this week. And he also wonders whether she might be looked at that as a little shift of position at some point, whether actually her size and frame might make her a real threat in a more front row position than a second or back. But yeah, that was just a little bit of chat that I had with him. Jade Conkle's gentle incorporation into the Quinns team after WXV saw her as an HIA replacement for other players 3 times. You ever seen that before?
No, I haven't. But man, she hit the ground running, didn't she? I think she had a total of around about 60 minutes and she still carried the ball more than any other player for Harlequins.
Yeah, impressive that, isn't it?
Like, that's just a sign of her and what she means to the team.
This game changer has been a regular part of what Harlequins offer as the Premier 15s before it was PWR has gone through. They are, you know, they want to be one of the standard setters in terms of getting these crowds in and year on year try and get people down. So look, if you are around, get yourself along to the Stoop. Be part of making another bit of history as the women's club game tries to, you know, bounce on and make another record. All of these records are there to be broken. And yeah, I love what they do around this.
Superstars are going to be back. I know we talked about some of the internationals trickling back last week, but if you check out Harlequin's social media, they're making a big push around Ellie Kildun, and rightfully so, the impact she could have. You know, we talk about Harlequin's not being clinical enough. She knows how to strike. You know, it's frustrating for Harlequins because I was looking at the stats and last round, they beat the most defenders. Like, their individual footwork is brilliant. It's just that composure to finish off. And the really exciting thing about this game, it's going to be so difficult to call because there's going to be big internationals back on both sides. You know, we talked before about Loughborough Lightning and the ridiculous transfers that they did this year. How many of those players are we going to see back in? You know, USA Aleph Kelter, Canadian Chrissy Scurfield, Emily Scarrett, England international. So this will be a really exciting one.
Yeah, Scurfield's been injured, hasn't she? But yeah, it'll be interesting to see who they bring out. And it's becoming a league, I think, that's a little bit, it's attack, 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 you know. Can Loughborough Lightning do the key defence work? Because they took 50 at Valis Way. They allowed 17 points against Sale Sharks. It's going to be an area that Nathan Smith and Charlie Beckett are going to need to be effective if they want to make the most of their go forward.
Yeah, they do. And I don't think it's so much about a system error, like a defensive system error. I do think it was more one-on-one tackles, which again, I just think when you get a few more of those bigger, you know, internationals, more experienced players back in, that missed tackles stats are gonna drop.
Who's gonna win it, Phil? You weren't expecting that.
I think Harlequins, because of home advantage, but also I've seen more from them. You know, we talk about the superstars coming back into Loughborough Lightning, but you know, individuals can only do so much. I think we'll see an improvement from Loughborough Lightning, but I think Harlequins will win this.
Okay. Also, Saturday, 3 o'clock, it is Exeter Chiefs against Trailfinders Women down at Sandy Park. This won't be an easy walk in the park for Susie Appleby's side. The Chiefs are unbeaten this season. They do love playing there. But Trailfinders, as I said, they've clung on to fourth given the points they'd already ratcheted up. And look, they wanted to prove they're ready to fight in the big leagues after that round one loss to Saracens, but where they gave a really, really good account of themselves.
Yeah, and I think this is an opportunity now for a true test because Exeter are going to have, you know, they're going to be fully loaded. Trailfinders, we know what they can do in attack. It's going to be about that defensive game. You know, they've scored 14 tries in just 2 rounds having that bye week. And I think that'll be good for them. You know, fresh off a bye week, fresh off a huge win. Went 64 points, wasn't it? You were down at that one that they put on Loughborough Lightning. Vicky Laughlin teaming up with potentially Abby Dow. Ho! Good luck. Try and catch those heels.
Well, and that means you've got to drop Grace White as well, and she's been flying. So, yeah, some big decisions
convert
there.
Convert her to hooker. Just get her in.
Or back row, like a May Campbell. Yeah, and Liv McGovern is still looking hugely influential to that Chiefs go forward. Her boot made the most metres last round, 547, including the only 50-22 of the round. And yeah, she was away for a season, came back, and I managed to catch up with Liv, actually, asked her if she's noticed a change after that year out.
No, like, I think it's pretty similar, but I think it's just gone up a whole nother level, I guess, leading into a World Cup year. Like, you know, all the big dogs are here and, you know, it's such a good level of rugby. And I think I really miss, like, playing this amount of games, which, yeah, like, I love playing. You know, it's unreal competition here, as I said. So, yeah, it's really good to be back.
Now, I hear you've been tuning into the PowerPod.
Yes, I have. I listened to all 3 episodes so far. Great podcast, highly recommend.
Excellent. We will be clipping that up and putting it wherever we can. I mean, we've talked about the contracted nature of the season. It's probably something we will talk about all the way through the season, but something the players are aware of is the sort of nature of the strength and conditioning side of it, all of that having to fit to this programme.
Yeah, I think like it being such a condensed season with so many games, like obviously player rotation comes into it, and like management of training in the week. You know, I don't know all the details. I'll leave that to the S&C. But yeah, you definitely like they've got to be on the ball with it to, you know, manage us for such a high intensity season.
Yeah, like a true committed rugby player, you'll just get told where to turn up and when, and you'll follow orders.
Yeah, exactly. Just follow the rules.
Just quickly, did you watch the World Cup draw? What did you make of what you saw?
Yeah, no, I did. We did have a look at the World Cup draw come out after our training on Thursday. I think it was. It looked good. Looked pretty. Some competitive pools. I think one of them was the pool of death. We sort of were calling it. But I can't remember what one. But
is that France, Italy, South Africa, maybe?
Yeah, no, the one with it's Aussie, England,
USA.
USA, yeah, that one. Pool of death. But yeah. No, it'll be so good. Like next year, will be exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be a super year. What do you think Chiefs can achieve this year then?
I think we want to, our goal was to win it. I mean, we're not looking too far ahead, but I think we've got the team and the coaching staff and, you know, the culture to be able to go all the way, hopefully. But, yeah, we're just trying to stick to our processes and see what we can do.
And a Kiwi loving life in Devon?
Yeah, no, I love it. It reminds me of home a lot, and like it actually feels like a second home for me. So, yeah, I love it there.
Oh, we love that. Thanks so much for your time and good luck for the rest of the season.
Cheers. Thank you, Nick.
She'll be setting up a coffee shop in no time, I'm fairly sure. Really appreciated chatting to Liv, and lovely to know. There we go. We've got another listener to the Power Pod, so that's good. I want to give an honourable mention as well. Chiefs front row, Michaela Nielsen, is doing really, really good things there, bearing in mind the pressure that there is around that front row. And yeah, they had Charlie Jacoby on the bench, Kleena Maloney, Demi Swan coming off. I mean, you know, there's usually this strength and depth that we see from the likes of Gloucester Hartbury, but actually Exeter are showing that they're building it nicely as well.
Yeah, and as Liz McGovern referred to then, in this condensed year season, where not every player is going to play every minute, that strength and depth is going to be huge, isn't it? And, you know, when I refer to when Exeter played against Gloucester Hartbury, they contained them. I've really seen a marked improvement in Exeter's defence. We talked, didn't we, round one against Harlequins. Exeter made an insane amount of tackles. Mm. Well, that's what they did again against Gloucester Hartbury, 195. Typified by Maisie Allen making 24 on her own, missing none. So really think that, you know, we talk about Exeter being that, you know, turnover, transition play, strike quick, but now they're developing that being comfortable in defence, which is one of the hardest to play against, to be able to play against a team that's comfortable and happy to let you have the ball because you can, you know, you can run yourself out of ideas. And I think with Trailfinders, maybe that attacking, you know, really exciting game plan that they're playing, but they haven't got the history of the, okay, what if we need to slow it down? What if we just need to go through 15 phases? Have we got the ideas, or are we going to run out of them? And I think that will be Trailfinder's major challenge and potentially where the difference between these two teams could be.
Yeah, Maisie Allen was looking very good, I have to say, at King's Home as well last weekend. So, yeah, I think the balance of what they could do, how physical Exeter can be, whether Trailfinders have got the physicality to match that, I think they might be a little bit more of a whippet of a side. It's going to be a really interesting one down at Sandy Park. Okay. Sale against Bristol, Corpac Stadium. That one is a 7 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. Sale winning this one last season, as we said, 27 points to 24. Bristol, they need to keep up with the top four pack, having lost last weekend. Sale, as we know, Sale Sharks having not won a match this season. So will Sale have enough of an answer for Bristol's young Flyers, the renegade Renika Bonner and Millie Wiz herself, Millie David? I have to thank Claire Thomas for finding out those nicknames and sharing those with me last weekend at Ashton Gate. Just loving the young talent making a name for themselves. And look, how is Millie David coping under the spotlight, feeling about her development? Who's she learning from? She spoke to me.
I think just talking to the people inside me, like I have a lot of role models at Bears, like Renika and Amber Reid. So just little things like my defence I've been working on a lot and just things like ball security. Yeah, just learning off of them wherever I can because they have so much knowledge to give, so...
Are you someone that watched a lot of rugby growing up? Have you got any, you know, former players or current players that you've been watching?
I started playing because my brothers started playing. So, I mean, they're not very, very good models to watch. But, no, I watch a lot of rugby now with my dad. So, yeah.
Yeah, and perhaps a little eye I've heard on sort of whether Australia 2029 and a red road shirt could be a possible, you know, evolution of your career. I mean, I love anybody that has a vision like that.
Yeah, I mean, my dad's half Australian. They moved over here a little bit before I was born, so that's sort of always been like, it would just be incredible to go back there and play for my home nation. So, yeah, it would just be amazing.
What about then heading up to take on Sale Sharks next week?
Yeah, I think obviously we've got a lot of learnings to take from today. Sale are a very physical team, so we definitely need to improve our discipline. We gave away too many penalties today. So, yeah, just work on that starting Monday.
Well, really lovely to meet you and good luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you so much. Lovely to meet you.
Yeah, most tries so far for Millie David. 5 so far in the season, despite only playing 2 matches. Phil, what did you think of seeing Millie David up close?
Fast. Wow. Mm. And I love it when wingers, when the whole back line is flowing and they're all moving forward, but then all of a sudden the winger gets her hands on the ball, or his, and there's that boom. That's that booster button. You know, you think they're going fast and you're like, oh, no. There you go. Now she's going fast. I mean, she touched the ball 4 times. She scored in 2. That's a nice conversion rate, isn't it? So, yeah, what an asset. And I think with Bristol in the game against Saris, you know, they had the flyers, they had the movement, but they were just lacking a bit of that punch. So I think this game now, if they have the likes of Hannah Bottoman back, Lark Atkin-Davis back, I'm not sure about Abby Ward because she might still be having, you know, she had those stitches in her face and I don't know whether she'll be able to play, but those ball carriers just to go forward, that for me was what they were really missing against Saris. That was the difference in the two teams, was that tight power game. If they can add that in, then they could really be ruthless in this game.
Yeah, how much do you think that's going to affect the game plan? You know, Dave Wall's talking about the space that they want to attack, the opportunity to play that fast game. But, you know, Lark Atkin-Davis was the league's top try scorer the last 2 seasons. Shows where most of their points are coming from, driving maul. You know, they're talking one thing, but is the reality in terms of how they're actually successful another?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think it's almost without going...
It does happen every now and then.
But I think without going too sort of nosy on it, it's okay, how did they get into the position to get, say, the driving line out more so close for Lark Atkin-Davis to, you know, be at the back and put the ball over? Now, you can usually get there with a territorial game, except we know that Bristol don't actually like to kick that much. Or you can get it by playing with a positional and making those breaks and holding onto the ball, breaking down the defence or creating that short on the outside, exposing it and then getting yourself into the right place. I don't know whether it's a complete change of game plan for them, because I really like the way they play. I do just think they are missing those big hitters that create that platform, create that momentum. So then there's less pressure on the outside players to be able to shift that ball across. If you're not getting that first hit, the defensive line is set. When they are set, they can look up, pick out who they've got. They can look in. Is there an opportunity for a turnover? As soon as you get that momentum rolling, all of a sudden, they are just focusing on getting onside. And as soon as they're doing that, they're not looking up, they're not talking, and that's when you can play a bit more. So I don't think it's, you know, overhaul things yet. I think get the players that have that punch back in and then maybe reassess.
The trail finders just need to find the space and keep it away from Bristol's big animals.
Easier said than done, though, isn't it? But yeah, I think it will be, it's such a hard thing as a coach, and I think especially of this particular team that looks so good in attack and they're enjoying their rugby and they are reacting and they're playing. But when you come against those big hitters, it's yes, I don't want to stifle you, but be aware. If you go, you need to make sure you've got someone with me. Or if someone does go, it's not a guarantee they're going to make it. You have got to work to get there to make sure you conceal that ball, because the chance is you're going to make breaks, but there's also a good chance that Bristol are going to chase you down. So it's where do we go after that?
Okay, well, that is that 7 o'clock game on Saturday night. That one is poised very nicely. Trailfinders could be doing a good job of holding onto a top 4 position, but Bristol will be wanting to stop that.
On Sunday, 12:45, we've got Saracens against Gloucester Hartbury. Another huge game. Okay, so some context for you. Saracens have played 3, won 3, maximum points. They are flying. Gloucester Hartbury 1-2, lost 1, dropping a point as well against Exeter at King's Home last Saturday. Now, they've each won when they're playing at home. It's always that away. And this one for Gloucester Hartbury is away.
Yes. Yeah. Most tries, Saracens with 20, Gloucester Heart of Priest second on 14. Most points, Saracens with 131, Gloucester Heart of Priest in second on 99. Most meters made, Gloucester Heart of Priest 1,992, Saracens second with 1,585. So these are the two big performers in this league. And Gloucester Heart of Priest will be a bit frustrated at having dropped those points. Like I said, they don't seem too distraught at 11 points from 15.
Yeah, Saracens do seem to have that extra air of confidence about them, don't they? And you can't blame them. Look, they've got maximum points. But Sean Lynn, coach of Gloucester, is he looking forward to the challenge?
These are the games you want to be playing in. These are the top four games. And Saracens look very good today, very efficient and very physical. It's very Saracens way. So always looking forward going there.
How do you look at this season? We've talked about it on the Power Pod, about the congested nature of it. You're going to need a full squad. Is there benefit to these first couple of weeks while the players were away that actually is giving you that insight of depth that you might need for the season?
Yeah, it's massive benefit. You know, I'm seeing certain individuals here who are stepping up to the mark, and you've got to give some players some opportunities and before you know what they can do. And that's something that we have done today. I think if you're looking at Rani Samuda, who's moved from Lucid to tight end, she's been outstanding. And today we could have just easily said, right, let's put Cecilia back in. But Rani's earned her stripes there. And you've got Steph Els, who's done very well. She was outstanding there today. But Lucy Simpson coming off the bench. Millie Hyatt filling in the 10 slot. So look, we're in a good place, and it's a great opportunity for these girls to be playing.
How much are you still enjoying the coaching challenge?
Yeah, I always love the coaching challenge. Yeah, I think it's good. The Premiership is getting a lot more intense. It's a lot different this year. We're going to be we could be very lucky. We got a 2-week break actually in November, which is going to be really nice for us before we go into the Bristol game. So, yeah, it'll all hopefully work out well.
Great to hear from Sean Lynn. And being down at King's Home, I actually saw Clakey George, who was there watching on from the shed. Had a bit of a knee brace on, but I was told it may not be as serious as it could have been. So hopefully more precautionary on that front. And Sean Lynn for Lions coach of the British and Irish Lions in 2027. Laura Jane Jones, I know, is a supporter of that. I think she's leading the charge, but I thought I would just drop that in for everybody. Okay, let's hear from the Saracens camp as well. They extended an invite to go and join them at their training session this week, which was very kind. Lovely to go up there. Here's forwards defence coach Moritz Botha, first of all, top man in his second year coaching with the women, on what they need to do more of and what they need to improve.
Our line-out success rate wasn't that good on the weekend. Accuracy of scrum time needs to improve, but those are all things we can fix. The one thing that we were really pleased about the weekend is the effort that the girls put in and the fight they showed. So a lot of the time in the big games, that's what it's down to, and you know, there are going to be technical things that can decide games, but a lot of time you can negate that with sheer effort and fight, and that was brilliant on the weekend. You know, we're really proud of their effort on the weekend.
And now let's hear from centre-cum-wing Sydney Gregson when I ask Sid how much he's relishing the visit of the champions Gloucester Heart of Priest on Sunday.
Yeah, massively. I think, you know, we've got three big games to the bounce. As you say, we had Bristol, got Gloucester, and then we've got Exeter to look forward to. And I think it's nice to have those tough games, you know, all at once. I think hopefully we can keep form and keep getting better. As you say, Gloucester's always a tasty encounter. It's going to be competitive. You know, it's going to be a really close game, I think. But yeah, really looking forward to it.
Have you got some mates in that squad?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Who would that be?
Looking forward to seeing Maud.
Oh yeah. Maud,
yeah. So that would be nice. And then yeah, you know, just a few of the other girls, are going to be good to catch up with them.
Yeah, you don't want to see too much of Maud,
no.
Here, do you?
No.
No more meters. Probably.
Well, the funny thing is, last time we played them here, might have been because we won, but she had literally said to me a couple of weeks before, oh, it's going to be, because I got to know her really well over Six Nations, said, oh, it's going to be really nice post-game, like we can actually have a proper chat, whereas before you just do the polite handshake, like, well played. And then after the game, I shook hand, went to give her a hug, and she sort of just walked off and blanked me. She did what she said after, she was like, sorry, I wasn't thinking, but it just made me laugh. So she was like,
all the talk,
yeah.
But they just treated you like nobody.
Yeah.
Do you think it was because they lost?
Probably, I think
yeah,
so, yeah.
I'd say so. Listen, lovely spending time with you, and good luck at the weekend.
Thank you.
And if you want to watch a bit more of my chat with Sydney Gregson and my chat with Mo from Saracens, then I'm going to post those on our socials. So go and check those out. Really nice to get the invitation to go up there. The Red Roses were back. I saw Marley Packer just in there, just had such a presence about her being in that camp and catching up. They were doing their stretching before they sort of started the drills. I could hear Marley going, "Come on, girls, what's the gossip been then while I've been away?" She was just straight back in being the ringleader, and you can really get a sense of how important she is to that squad. But yeah, this is a big one.
So talking about coming straight back in, Marley Packer, obviously, England captain, plays seven, but Mae Campbell has been playing seven, and she could not have done any more to try and keep that jersey. She's been standout.
Yeah, she has. You have to worry for Bryony Field and whether actually, you know, that's going to have to be the shift I think Alex Osterbury makes, Mae Campbell back in that hooker position. But yeah, they've got an embarrassment of riches.
Oh, haven't they? And we're not even talking about Sophie DeGoody. You know, unfortunately, she's got that ACL injury, so she won't be around for a while. But you think the dilemma that you could have is crazy.
Yeah. Gloucester Hartbury, they are lacking a bit of ruthlessness in the red zone. Made 12 visits for only 15 points, way below their 3.5 points per visit last season. They, you know, Sean Lynn is no doubt going to bring a lot of those big guns back, and they will have a huge impact on that. It's just going to be, I think, about Alex Osterbury and Saracens knowing what's coming and can you stop it, and them having that home advantage.
Yeah, and I do think they will try and put a bit of hustle on the 10 for Gloucester Hartbury. Millie Hyatt, you know, she has stood in and she's done really well, but she, you know, she's a young up-and-coming player. So it sounds really brutal, but I wouldn't be surprised if a couple of the big runners are going to be running straight down her channel. So get the old school shoulder pads on, Millie, because you're going to need them.
Yeah, she certainly is. As far as Saracens, listeners might want to keep an eye on their socials on Friday afternoon. One of their big players has a small announcement coming. Might be the last little appearance. I don't know. I don't want to say too much. I want to leave it to Saracens to have all the glory, but keep an eye on their socials late on Friday afternoon. There is a notable moment coming for one of the players in their squad.
Oh, what a tease.
I know.
I love the tone as well. Where's that tone come from?
Yeah, well, you know, just get a little closer and more intimate to the microphone when I've got something salacious to tell you. Okay, so that is the Sunday game. It is live on TNT Sports, so make sure you can tune in to that one. Okay, just a quick look at the table then. Saracens, as we mentioned, they are top. They have 15 points. Exeter Chiefs second with 13. Gloucester Hartbury third with 11. All the way down to Sale Sharks at the bottom, who are yet to get a point on the board. Leicester Tigers just above them with the 1 point. The player of the round last week was Hallie Taufu'u from Lightning in the team of the week. Notable few players. There were three from Lightning, including Laura Keats, World Cup winner, Exeter's Michaela Nelson, Sales Internationals, America's Erica Jarrell, and Italia's Beatrice Rigoni. Sydney Gregson, who we spoke to, was in there, and Emma Singh, who is just, we're just not talking about Emma Singh because of how much we've been talking about Emma Singh. She is still in there and still performing. Right, time to pick up the power line and see who we've heard from. Have you been getting in touch with us? Have you been texting, messaging, voice noting us? Well, here's Rob from Southampton, who couldn't make it to King's Home to watch Exeter Chiefs. So, Rob, what happened?
Well, I don't exactly know what happened because Gloucester doesn't stream its matches like Exeter does. However, I know Michaela Nelson was starting her first start in the PWR, wearing number one. And I know she scores two tries this time. We get the win over the champs, and on the Chiefs socials, she's voted the player of the day over the likes of Maisie Allen, Ebony Jeffries. So she must have put in another hell of a shift. Now, we know that Gloucester, with all its internationals back, are a completely different animal. I don't think anybody knows that better than Chiefs do. So getting them now in the fixture list was key. But seeing our depth stepping up and picking up the win away from home, it's going to be crucial for us staying near the top of the table. And hopefully we can push on throughout the rest of the season. And it looks, I know you've probably been chatting about Michaela this week. You know your stuff, you're professionals, I get it. But it's nice to see that between Hope Rogers coming back and Michaela Nelson, that one shirt's in pretty good hands.
Well, if Rob's voice notes get any longer, we'll need to introduce him at the top of the show. but yes, we have mentioned Michaela Nelson. She is in the team of the week. And Rob, thank you so much for getting in touch. And we hope to hear more from you soon. Right, crashing on then, onto our one question. And we told you we had a good response from Ro Marston Mulhern asking her question of who would win in a fight to Zalema, a bear or a tiger. Let's hear that response.
Hi, Zainab Alema here. Thanks for the question, Ro. My answer is a tiger would win in a fight between a bear and a tiger. I think tigers are generally more aggressive, they're more agile and definitely more quicker than a bear. So all of those qualities will give them the upper hand. And also, when I heard that question, the first thing I thought of was Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Now, a lot of us know that story. You know, there's a family of three bears versus one child. That child was able to get into the home of three bears. Granted, they weren't around, but ate their food, slept in their bed, broke the chairs, all of that kind of stuff. The bears then came home and caught her, and they didn't do anything about it. And that was three bears versus one little girl. So, in answer to your question, and because of that analogy, I reckon a tiger would definitely win in a fight against a bear. Now, for my one question, which is going to be to Ellie Boatman from Trailfinders Rugby Club, what is your favourite TikTok trend that you've done to date? I really want to know.
Thank you, Z. I just love the detail she went into. Must have a lot of time on her hands. Just the full Goldilocks story. Isn't that great?
I know. It was a trip down memory lane, that was, wasn't it? but great analogy. Love that.
Yeah. So we will track down Ellie Boatman for a response to her one question. Now, we, talking of questions, have had quite a few questions in. I put the call out on our Instagram. We got quite a few in. And we'll perhaps spread these over the next couple of episodes. We did also have one down the power line. So let's start with this one.
Hi, it's Henry from Ealing. And my question is, given the amount of tries scored so far this season, in your opinion, who has scored the best try? My favourite try so far was the Vicky Laughlin try, where Grace White ran nearly the whole length of the pitch.
Okay, Henry, great question. Phil?
Well, Henry, stay tuned. Listen to the end, and I will answer your question.
oh, okay. Power play time, maybe. I think mine, it might have to be the Millie David effort, but I don't know where Phil's going later, so we shall see. Our next question came from Matt, who's a huge Bears fan. He was looking forward to the doubleheader last weekend. He might want to forget that now. Hi, guys. Really enjoying the pod. Great that the PWR is leading the way and having a dedicated podcast just about the league. Thank you very much, Matt. I wish the Gallagher Premiership would catch up. Fair play. My question was, with such a condensed season and players being centrally contracted to the RFU, how much do you think we will see them play in the PWR this season? With a focus on winning a home World Cup, will John Mitchell be asking clubs to manage game time? Certainly, as far as I know, there will be conversations that are going on between England and the clubs. And when they've just stepped off a plane, having played 3 weeks of internationals with a huge lead up to that as well, then yes, conversations will go on with club coaches, club directors of rugby to manage their minutes and give them the rest periods. But it's not an edict that particularly comes out to say, right, and now you won't play them for these particular games, as far as I understand. I think it is a sort of two-way conversation. I think probably John Mitchell will say when he thinks players should be rested, and clubs will probably by and large go along with that. But yeah, I think it's a bit more of a two-way conversation. It's not just, and now you cannot pick these people. But Philippa, maybe some of the coaches in the PWR would turn around and say, no, it is like that.
Well, yeah, we don't know the intricacies, do we? But what I do know is it will be very much player-led as well. You know, all of these players from every nation will be monitoring every single day, even though they're not in their international or camp, quite often they'll have an app. And as soon as they wake up in the morning, they'll give a level, say out of 1 to 10, how sore are they feeling? How are their stress levels? How tired are they feeling? So it's not just about, oh yeah, I've got a pulled calf, maybe I need to rest. If you've got a player that every single day is scoring an 8 or a 9 with the stress level, then they may even look at pulling that player back. Because this is a long, intense season, the biggest season, arguably, of many players' careers so far with this home World Cup. So there will be some monitoring, but like I say, it will definitely be player-led as well as coach sort of conversations.
Yeah. Okay, Matt, we hope that's answered your question. All right, here's another.
Hi, it's Alice from Ealing. My question for you is, why did in the PWR do they have a bye week? Also, why is a bye week called a bye week? Thank you.
So, yeah, good question. And an important that actually terminology like this that we throw about all the time does get understood. So a little bit of Googling on my part. A bye in itself, to answer that first, it comes from the word bypass often. So if you imagine a kind of a tournament competition where teams are playing each other to get to a final, it might be that they've got an odd number of teams. So you can't have an even number of competitions, an even number of teams playing each other to then get through. So a team might be allowed to bypass playing one round to get into the next round, because that's the way the competition structure has to work. So then I think that's just how it's got shortened to bye. And the reason we have a bye week in the PWR is it's a league with 9 teams. So every round, a team plays another team. So that means that 2, 4, 6, 8, those teams are all covered. So one team has a bye week, which means we have, you know, 16 match weeks in theory, but because there are teams having a bye week each week, it extends to an 18 round season and the semis and the final. I hope that makes it clear. Thank you to the others who put questions through. Larissa McFadden asking, which is the one first-year PWR international you're excited to watch? I'm going to give Philippa a week to think about that one.
I've got an answer. Emma Orr, easy, Bristol.
Oh, there we go. She's not played a game yet, but she's gone with Emma Orr. Okay, good. Then I'll take a week to think about that. And we've got questions from Rob Smith, from Frankie. Frankie, that rugby girl, what one thing would you change to make the biggest impact in women's rugby in 5 years' time? That's an interview question for the next CEO of the PWR, I think. But we can have some thought on that one as well. Philippa, it was an eventful week, wasn't it, in terms of the Rugby World Cup?
It certainly has, because we have found out the World Cup draw. So not only do we know what teams are going to be playing in what pool, we also know what their fixtures are going to be. And England will be opening the tournament against USA in Sunderland. So out of all of those pools, which one caught your attention, Nick?
Well, it sort of almost came out of the conversation that I had with Liv McGovern. She was like, oh, one of them's a pool of death, isn't it? England, Australia, USA, Samoa. And I was saying, well, isn't it France, Italy, South Africa, Brazil? So, yeah, I could see if Italy don't play to their full strengths and kick on, I could see South Africa actually blowing through that one and getting out of the pool, which would not be good for Italy. New Zealand, Ireland, I think, are coming out of Pool C in there with Japan and Spain. And look, Wales drawn with Scotland again. Is that giving you a bit of a trigger, Philippa?
Oh, big time. Proper nerves, proper twitch. Yeah, look, that is a really difficult pool. Pool B, Canada, Scotland, Wales, Fijiana. Canada, fly in. Can't see either Scotland or Wales, to be honest, touching them. It is going to come down to those two. And an important part we've got to remember now is, because we've got more teams in this World Cup, it's only going to be the top two from every pool are going to qualify. Whereas in the last World Cup, because they had less teams, it was not only the top two, you also had the two best third place, which gave some teams a bit of a cheeky access into the quarterfinals. That's not there. That safety net is not there. And Scotland, Wales, it's been so tight in the years. And guess what the opening game for the Six Nations is for Wales? Scotland.
Scotland?
Yeah, oh. Scotland. So, yeah, really excited, but very nervous about that. So from York to Sunderland to Bristol, Exeter to Northampton, wherever you are in the UK, there is a game close to you. See you at Twickenham on the 27th of September as we target the world record attendance for the final. Not Allianz, but Twickenham.
Yeah, they're not allowed to mention the sponsorships there. It's all very clean in terms of how the stadium announced for now. Anyway, there are also some double headers as well to enjoy. So That's going to be great. You can actually get tickets and get along to grounds to watch those and enjoy two games. The ticket window is now open as well, so I think there's a bit of MasterCard priority, but then it is open for a fortnight from the 5th of November. Remember the 5th of November. Everybody can have the chance to go in, declare what tickets that you're interested in, and then you will find out a little later on as to which ones you have been successful with. Okay, just before we wrap things up, Phil, I did promise last week that we would touch on a couple of community clubs who've got some coaching opportunities, a chance for you if you're looking to try and get into the game, to get involved. Susie Marks tells me from Reading RFC, they would love a shout out. Free trial sessions to all new players any Wednesday in November from 6 to 7:30 for youth, based in Sonning in Reading. Come and join the list of the women and girls who've already worn the green and white. The likes of Abby Dow, Alex Matthews, Karis Cox, Vicky Laughlin, Ella Cromack, Millie David. Contact Simon Neal. There's an email address here, which is doyr@readingrfc.co.uk. Then we have Ali Elsley, Cambridge Women's Rugby, running a beginner's course at the moment, continuing through November with a development game on the 1st of December, every Monday, 7 to 8pm at Elgia Fields, Cambridge. There's a postcode here, CB39ED. So get along to Cambridge if you can. And then Rosie Newton, no specific date on this, but Rosie says Teddington women are actively seeking new players. Super friendly club who train on a Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30. We welcome people of all ages, 18 and above, and abilities. We would love a shout out. Well, consider that done. Go and pull on a pair of boots, get involved in rugby, because you can say it was that massive year I played my part and I went and played a game. That do us, Phil? Episode 4 done and dusted?
Absolutely not. Power play time. Come on.
Oh! How dare I? Honestly, slap my wrist. I've got camper by the minute. Go on then. Let's have Phil's power play.
Okay. I want to take you back to Leicester Tigers against Harlequins and a moment in the game where, honestly, I thought I was watching like a video game. It was so ridiculous. Harlequins winger, Katie Schillaker, 39th minute, so just going in before the end of the first half. That's so key when you can score a try there. And literally, she made one step and one bust, and I was like, oh. And then she made another step and skinned another player. I was like, oh, hello. And then she just kind of the curviest, weaviest, kind of longest way possible to the try line, but skinned everybody in the process. It was one of those tries that, you know, every backline player, and maybe, I don't know, every forward as well, when they're doing that sprint session, that agility session, the plyometrics, in their heads, they're all thinking, ooh, and I'd step like this, and I'd do this, and I'd do that, but it never comes off. But for her, it came off. It was so much fun, awesome to see. So that is my power play of last round.
Love it. I thought you were almost going to do the old flake milk chocolate advert there. The weaviest, curviest, flakiest milk chocolate in the world. You're frowning at me. You don't know the reference at
that
all.
That is quite an old reference that might need some explanation for our audience.
Sorry, I'm very old. Excellent. Well, thank you, Phil, for your power play. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Continue to tell your mates. Continue to subscribe. We really appreciate it. If there is time for you to enter our competition to win 4 tickets to the Game Changer, then please do. Philippa, have a great week. Lovely to see you.
You too, mate. Take care.
The Power Pod is a Level production produced by Caleb Matumbo. We'll be right back.